Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and joining me once again, the retcon to my reboot and the icon to my canon, it's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Scott. Good evening, Scott.
You say it with such finality, like my name has been underscored or underlined or something. I don't know.
Yeah, basically.
I just like to think.
I don't even know what I'm saying with my fucking stupid ass lisp. I don't even know why I'm saying your name in the first place, to be honest with you.
So we are here to talk about the latest episode of WandaVision, which we discovered sometime after 3 a.m. was titled Previously On. I just wanted to say it that way. So I watched it a while ago. You watched it fairly shortly, just minutes ago, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So before we start to go through this, overall opinion, were you pleased with it, or are you psyched about it? What was your takeaway? Where you think it's going, how you think it's going so far?
Well, I think it's one of the better things that Marvel properties have done for these, you know, movies and I guess movies and TV show, whatever. I think this is one of the top few things that they've done, and it's not just like Brian Hewlett recency bias here. I actually like thought about it.
Okay.
I really liked it. I think it was very effective for me.
I guess I would tend to agree with you. I certainly like it better than a lot of their output as far as just sticking with the television realm. I mean, I'm enjoying it more than most of like any of the Netflix stuff or the other things that they've done. I'm a little partial to some of the later seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, by the way, will be brought up again at some point on this podcast, but not just yet. But yeah, I am liking it a lot. So with this episode, the reason I ended up watching it sooner than I normally would have liked, because even if I'm working during the day and doing various things, I do tend to be off and on the social media, not just Facebook. I am actually on Twitter a lot as well, for other reasons. And it's too hard to avoid being spoiled there. So I figured, let me just watch, get it out of the way in the wee hours if I'm still awake. And then if I feel I need to be recharged and watch it again later on, I will. With this episode, for me personally, I don't know, is it possible to both really like an episode while also feeling kind of a twinge of disappointment about everything? And then it's because that disappointment is kind of pretty much tied to what you've already said or foreseen in the series. Does that make any sense?
I don't know. Maybe you kind of like were hoping that you'd be surprised or something, but you were able to figure it out ahead of time. But that doesn't bother me, because like figuring it out ahead of time just means that we're smart. So, and it's nice to be smart in a world filled with dumb fucks. So I don't mind it so much. Right. I don't, as long as it's executed well, I don't mind the fact that, you know, that I'm smart enough to predict it, I guess, as are you.
Right. Yeah. And it pretty much for the most part does go along those lines. I mean, that isn't to say there were not a few revelations in this episode that were very cool to see and know. But yeah, a lot of the other things, I mean, heck, if the folks out there, if you've been listening to our previous WandaVision podcast, and I'm really zeroing in on, what was it, number 301, where we covered the first six episodes, you could pretty much cover a lot of what happened in this episode. Hey, you could just splice together that TV commercial breakdown thing I did, and as well as that bit about me talking about how this series is mainly a coping mechanism for Wanda being sparked by the losses and the grief of her parents and her brother. And finally, you know, the love of her life, Vision. And by the way, this is not, ooh, look at me, look at these original views. I'm sure many people thought the same thing from the first episode on. So, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, But I think it is exactly what you said. And I've had that happen before where on one hand, you know, yay me, I figured out something ahead of time. Because I'll be the first one to say I often don't, you know. But sometimes it's like, oh, I'm not as evolved as you are, I think, in that regard, because it does kind of take something away. And I think I did mention it on a previous podcast. So, you know, you can take your shots for Scott being repetitive here. Cause I think I said it on a WandaVision podcast that the biggest one of all time for me was weeks, not days, weeks and weeks ahead of time when I was watching season three of Lost. And the big reveal, you know, with the last episode there, and that you know, set everyone on fire, and everyone was going crazy about it, and it's still one of the most talked about, blah, 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 biggest. And I was someone who online, actually in some message boards that were organized for the listeners of the same podcast that we used to listen to with Jay and Jack and everything, I had posited weeks earlier that, well, if they really want to change things up, we've been getting flashbacks for, you know, three seasons. It would be kind of, you know, and since they're really getting into time stuff here, maybe we'll just go into a flash forward and all of a sudden we're going to jump ahead in time and whatever. And that's exactly what happened in that episode, which made it, and I was like, oh, okay. And I wanted to be all proud of myself, but at the same time, and I said this before, there were actually people accusing me of like finding out. I was like, how the fuck did I find out? What, I am an insider on the Lost staff? You know, idiots. Anyway.
Yeah.
I digress.
Yeah. It would have been nice maybe if you were in with JJ, you could have made those Star Trek movies like intelligent.
I could. Exactly. But like I said, especially for the two of us, I would say we did learn a few new things, I would say, of importance. You know, you get to see how some things have changed. They didn't just change from comic book to film, which is fine, and we expect that. But they actually pulled off a little bit of retconning, which is the phrase that, you know, the geeks we like to use. They actually retconned some, at least one major kind of thing that had already happened in the MCU. And we'll get to that. And that's kind of the thing that I think is very interesting, because I realized, oh, you just opened the door to something which is probably going to be more of a phase 5 kind of thing, unless I'm mistaken, and I might be. So let's just get into the episode. Again, we're not going through a crazy big recap thing, but the first thing we're going to talk about is the first thing in the episode, because a show titled Previously On kicks off with a flashback, and then we get their version of Agatha Harkness's origin, I guess. Now, from what I understand, and from what little, and I do mean little, that I know about her from the comics, and a lot of those blanks have been filled in either by talking with you or reading stuff on the interwebs, they kind of changed up her origins quite a bit here from the comics. And as a consequence of that, I think also made her, for lack of a better way to phrase it, maybe more powerful now or just a bigger presence than maybe she might have been in the comics. I mean, do I have that right?
I'd say so. Yeah, like she never was really powerful in the comics. And, you know, I mean, she always had these abilities or whatever, but they never really used them until like the 2000s. So after, you know, her origin is much different than the comics and on the show.
Right. And I think, as far as her origins, you know, as far as, you know, being part of this big coven, whatever, the role that we see here in what they did on the TV series, that the position, so to speak, that's held by her mother, that was really more her position, I think. I think she was kind of like, I mean, she still had a mother who was an important figure, but she was kind of the one leading the charge, you know, against people, so to speak, even though she wasn't like super duper powerful, but she was just, you know, like the, I mean, that's the way I thought I had heard it or read it, but I might've misinterpreted that. I don't know. But it is a change. And I think the change is done just to make her a bigger deal, which is fine. I mean, you can do that. Again, I don't care. Hey, I mean, although this is a horrible example to use because most people hate the movie, and we're going to see what the redone version in a few weeks is going to look like. But I could say the same thing about, you know, the Justice League movie, how they took Steppenwolf, who quite frankly was never that really that big a deal. He was just, he wasn't like a weakling, but he was just one of Darkseid's main minions, but he would never be the main bad guy fighting the Justice League. That's just silly. And that's what they did in that.
I didn't even know that character existed. And it's not like I haven't read like some DC comics. I'm just like, wow, like Steppenwolf is doing music for this show, like in Star Trek First Contact. Wow, that's cool.
Oh, no. Steppenwolf was a character. I believe I even have a figure for him. But he doesn't look anything like that. He's on the same level as the rest of the New Gods that are under Darkseid's Darkseid's side, like the Sod and Granny Goodness and Mantis and good Lord, I know too much. Okay. Let's not talk about Justice League.
No wonder the incels like that movie so much.
Okay, that's okay. Just because I feel I need to explain, because I can't. I'm sorry, I can't let that one go. That's just a little nudge joke at a fellow podcaster and apparently listener, who actually was the guy who got me to fix our audio, convinced me to fix our audio. So kudos to him for anything else. W. Axel Foley, or as I'm now going to call him, Bill. Anyway.
I know. I enjoyed watching you. I was reading you guys to going back and forth and how you like never listen to like other podcasts. I'm like, I've listened to Axel on like 300 podcasts probably. So I think it's fun.
It's another way that you and I very much differ. Oh, he is actually going to be guest appearing on the podcast in a few weeks. And that will be fun because, he probably knows this is coming already, but I don't know if you know about it. And yes, I know I'm derailing our podcast here, but it's fun to listen to some tough shit. Hey, first curse for me. I plan at some point, probably towards the end of that podcast, they did this otherwise kind of fun thing on their group page where they were doing like these movie bracket showdowns. And you know me, I get into the whole bracket thing. I've done them myself and I know how maddening and how much work goes into it. So I hate to be the guy disparaging it because I hated when people did that to me. And boy, did they do it to me a number of times when I've done it. But there was one, and then a bunch of them I could let go, like whatever. And I know you will. I know we can disagree about things, Dan, and that's one of the fun things sometimes. I can't imagine we're going to disagree on this one, because one of the brackets was about Alfred Hitchcock. And they did 8 films, and there were a couple films that were not represented there, and instead you had these other ones, and I was like, are you kidding me? I've never been able to let it go. I don't know why. I can't let it go. And and he's not even the guy who did it. Another fellow who's, one of the cooler dudes over there, Andrew, who also apparently listens, which is like, we got like 2 new listeners. That's it for the year for us. Oh, and then my physical therapist, 3 new listeners. We've tripled our listenership. Anyway, but I'm sorry, you're going to do a Hitchcock bracket and not include Hitchcock's own favorite movie of all of his films? Oh, just don't get me started. Anyway, back to WandaVision. So I feel like there's something we need to touch on, because I know it's out there, and I did not mention it in the previous podcast. I thought I had, but I think I must have skipped over it because I decided, nah, who cares? There were a number of people who noticed in the previous episode that when we got a look at Agatha's lair, you know, her little, you know, purple hazed room there, whatever, and you see these little objects and runes and things around the room, there is one thing that the camera lingers on for a moment. It's fairly prominent, and it's this, you know, glowing, you know, glowy, twinkly, looks like a Christmas ornament, but it's actually a book kind of a thing. And so all the perceptive comic book geeks out there were saying, ooh, that's the Darkhold. That's the Darkhold. And that's going to lead to this, that, and the other thing. And that's what's really been at the center of all this. So I figured, okay, let me spend this is actually something I actually know about myself for a change. So I said, let me spend a minute on it in the podcast just to talk about it and get it out of the way. I actually know there's a few listeners who don't know the comic books who already are familiar with this. Darkhold, basically, it's an evil book of spells. If you're an Evil Dead fan, think of it as kind of like the Necronomicon of the Marvel universe. Actually, Necronomicon is actually a version of the Darkhold, if I'm not mistaken. It was written by this evil elder god, and whose name was, I'm gonna probably screw up the pronunciation. I think it's just Kithon. Is that pretty much how you pronounce that guy's name?
Yeah, probably. I don't remember exactly. Well, I guess I don't. I just don't know. But yeah,
I think it is. You know, it's one of those names that when you see it, and when you're burdened with the lisp that I have, and then you realize, wait, there's like two THs in this. Oh, god damn you! This is the god of hatred of lisps. Apparently, I don't know.
And so it says Chython, but
Chython. Okay, yeah, we'll go with that. Come with that, because I don't mind mispronouncing it, because you know my mouth and all. Anyway, it was written by him a long, long time ago, and that kind of covers it. Whatever. I'm mentioning it because a lot of people are talking about that as possibly like the big hidden subplot of WandaVision. You know, it's kind of like along the same lines the way we've talked about theories that pointed to either, you know, Mephisto at one point or Nightmare at one point. And so I figured, okay, we've covered Mephisto in the first podcast. We covered Nightmare in the second one. Maybe we should talk about the guy whose name I don't want to try to pronounce in this one. And the fact that they, you know, popped in the Darkhold in that room, is like a massive, you know, glowing arrow towards that character and whatever. There's only one big problem with this. The problem is that the Darkhold has already played a major part of several, not just one season or one arc, several storylines in the Marvel, in the TV show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So for it to suddenly pop up in a somewhat different incarnation just a year or two later, and then be at the core of the next big bad in another series, which is even more closely tied to the overall MCU, I personally just would find that to be very strange. And I don't mean Doctor Strange when I say that. My guess is they kind of, and watch, I'm going to be totally wrong, but I don't care. I kind of think they just threw it in, you know, as a glimpse or two of the Darkhold without specifically naming it or really playing any part beyond being a visual prop in this series. But as far as the actual, aforementioned, hard for me to pronounce villain's name, Chithon or whatever his name is, or Chiffon. I should just call him Chiffon. You know what? It's at this point, it feels like it's, hey, fill in the blank of who the other or maybe true big bad is. And maybe we were all wrong. And it really was Agatha all along. I don't know. It feels like not we're all, but many of us, you know, people like me, I guess, we're deflecting to the idea of it being, you know, Mephisto or Nightmare or Chiffon. I'm just going to call him Chiffon because I feel like it now. And that's all kind of a subterfuge kind of thing. And then you might say it before I do. Go ahead.
Oh, just like, but it definitely looks like Mephisto was in this episode. So there's that.
You're talking about, well, we'll get to it, or you'll just say what it is. The other thing I was going to say, I realized, but in a way, it could just be that they're just leading to one of those three being the big bad for that upcoming Doctor Strange movie, which is going to have Wanda Maximoff as a major player and co-star in it.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like, that makes more sense.
Like Thanos, like, doesn't have to be the bad guy of an Avengers movie, but he's like partially responsible for like alien invasion or whatever, like that kind of shit.
Right, exactly, and then that's fine. That's totally fine. The only result it has with someone like me is that in a weird way, it kind of makes it feel like this series is almost just like a stopgap to the next mega Marvel blockbuster kind of thing. I mean, I'm still going to enjoy the series for what it is. I don't need to enjoy it as being part of an overall part of the Marvel tapestry, whatever. You know, it's functioning quite well on its own. But in a way, maybe I was infusing too much expectation into what they could pull off in just a series by itself. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. I'm trying to hold that back. Anyway, so that's basically it. We have only one more episode to go. I do not know, and we don't know at this point how long that episode's going to be. You know, I've heard different things. Oh, the next one might be an hour. Next one might be 90 minutes. One watch will be like 30 minutes. Who knows? So after we got that flashback origin of Agatha, Most of the rest of the episode is us taking a trip through Wanda's memories, because Agatha, I guess she wants to know how she managed to wield so much power to create this ever-expanding hex. And that's kind of what I was talking about when I was citing what we did back, talked about in the podcast a couple weeks ago. Because it seemed like, oh, look, ding, 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 things we talked about, you know, were coming true, you know, right? You know, It was, I believe I said in that podcast that, you know, I think Wanda and her family probably watched a lot of American sitcoms when she was a child, not just for how they learned the language, but maybe that would be tied to, like, you know, happy memories of her and her family, you know, before everything went wrong, and it being a world where problems were never that serious or rarely visited by death or sorrow and so on. And then when you see in that first memory, them kind of establishing that. And then just like that Stark Industries toaster commercial that they not so subliminally told us weeks and weeks ago, we then see her home and family destroyed, and the missile, you know, that's there is from, you know, Stark Industries. But here's the first thing that made me go, ooh, that's different. That's interesting. Oh, they're telling us something that I was not expecting. And in a way, I like it when we get with someone's like, oh, we should have picked up on that. Or at least I say that. Maybe you had already picked up on it or something.
Yeah. So now that Bryan Cranston's officially part of the MCU, he's definitely going to play Victor Von Doom. So yes, exactly.
It was kind of funny to see Bryan Cranston. They kind of changed up the what was previously a very bare bones origin that they had given Wanda in the MCU, and now it kind of, at least it's starting to align more with her comic book origins. And if we're being honest about that, or being perceptive about that, I should say, this may also be the beginning of starting to help out the MCU tremendously in the next phase, not phase 4, because I think they're not doing it in phase 4, but maybe phase 5. Because what they did in the MCU origins implied that Wanda and her brother Pietro were originally normal kids, but it was through the experimentation with the Mind Stone that was done with, you know, Von Strucker or through with Hydra, whatever, that was what led to them getting their abilities, specifically her getting her, you know, seemingly mystical abilities. That, because that is what they established with her character in the MCU, even though they kind of just did it like, you know, here's a little shot at the end of this movie, and here's a little bit more we're going to find out here and find out about it, and that was it. But in that scene, in that first memory, when she and Pietro are they hiding under the couch or the bed, whatever the heck, a table, whatever it is, and the missile is out there, and you can see that it looks like it's about to go off. It's got, you know, like the little red ticking, beeping, ticking kind of thing, like that toaster did. Ha ha. But it's, the implication is that she is the one who prevents it from going off. It's not simply a dud. And once they establish, oh, she was special before any exposure to the Mind Stone, which may also explain how she survives, and we see in a subsequent memory, how she not only survives an exposure to the Mind Stone, but it actually may be what actually brings out her abilities or whatever, you know, to the fore. We even got a quick glimpse of the iconic look of Wanda in her, you know, Scarlet Witch mode, you know, very briefly. Which, oh, by the way, it is cool that at the end of the episode, she's finally proclaimed by Agatha to be the Scarlet Witch. Yay! That was kind of cool. I have to admit, I thought that was kind of cool. But going back, so if we're saying that she had these powers, even if they were suppressed or she wasn't even aware she had them before the Mind Stone, and that exposure, whatever, either amped them up or brought them out or however you want to phrase it, then we've just made a switch over to the comic book origins. And even if they're not using the word yet, you tell me, doesn't this technically therefore make her a mutant?
Yeah, it certainly looks like that's what they're doing, I would say. I mean, because we've pretty much seen this happen, I guess, kind of once before, but that was just like because Peter Quill was like half like Eternal or Celestial, so that's why he was able to like handle Infinity Stone without blowing up too much. But that's like different than this.
Right, because he would be part alien in nature, so that wouldn't be part of it. But also, even though we don't see it here, because we're getting Wanda's memories and Wanda's experiences, one can probably therefore assume her brother had a similar experience with his exposure to the Mind Stone, since he obviously survived it, and he obviously had abilities as well. If she was born with them, therefore he was as well. And again, they just didn't know it or realize it. Although how he didn't know he could run really fast doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But you know, I'll let that go the way we let. If we can, like everyone always says, if you can let Clark Kent's glasses go, you should be able to let pretty much anything go when it comes to superhero stuff. So, yeah, I mean, my assumption is, you know, at some point, whatever, a few years or maybe several years down the line, because I think they're not going to get to really folding the mutants and the X-Men into the MCU until phase 5, only because that's what Feige was pretty much has been indicating anyway. I'm guessing when we get there, then they will get around to establishing something that any Marvel comic book reader knows. And I'm not going to call this a spoiler because it's been known for how many decades now? This isn't a Red Wedding kind of revelation here, that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are actually Magneto's children. Unless they've changed that again in the comics, I don't know. But that's the way I've always remembered them. They're still his kids, right?
Well, I think they changed it again, but I'm not sure if they changed it back.
Oh, then well, it's such a good way to tie everything together. I figure they would go back to that because they've changed enough other things, but you know, or change.
Yeah, whenever they change it, so it isn't that. I'm just like, you know, you're just being fucking dumb. Stop.
You know, speaking of Quicksilver. And that's, you know, for anyone who's lost track, that's Pietro or Fietro. I love fake Pietro being Fietro. I thought that was very funny. I didn't look. If that wasn't a hashtag today, it should have been. I am once again going to derail our podcast just for a minute with a personal anecdote that I don't recall. I mean, have I ever mentioned this on a previous podcast? I know I didn't say it in the last two. And I might have said it way back when on one of our geekier podcasts when we would cover like, you know, the DC shows, whatever. About my name. Have I mentioned that on a podcast? I don't think I have.
I don't think so.
I gotta mention it really quickly here. Okay. As you know from the intro and everything else, you know, obviously my first name is Scott. But when I was born, they took a few days to actually decide on a name for me. Cause you know, it's not like they had 9 months to plan it out apparently. And I was told, and I was told this a number of times over the years, but even when I was a kid, that they were choosing between three names. Scott with one T is actually from someone on my mother's side of the family, like one of her grandparents or uncles or something. I forget. Cause I never knew who it was. Christopher was a possibility, and apparently that got tossed out pretty quickly because the whole alliterative Christopher Candiotti sounded so much like Christopher Columbus or something. I don't know why. The third possibility was Quicksilver, and my mother basically told me that it came down to Scott and Quicksilver, and I just stared at her and I was like, well, thank you for the Scott then, because that I would have been tortured mercilessly my entire life.
Whatever drug dealer was hooking them up with some stuff, there must have been some good fucking stuff.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. And I don't believe it had anything to do with the Marvel character. I think they just liked the word or something. It just sounded good when you were like doing your munchies or whatever. And the irony of someone who's my favorite, one of my all time favorite character superhero wise is the Flash, and you would have named me Quicksilver, who is just in my mind just a weak kneed version of the Flash, or whatever, just would have pissed me off. But anyway,
so because that means in an alternate reality, you're named Quicksilver, and then when I tell you to go run around the block to like de-stress, you actually fucking do it, and then Colleen calls you Quicksilver or Eric when nobody else does for some reason.
Although I commented once on a recent vidcast that Jay was doing, and he, even though it says Esoteric Candy up there, he still referred to me as Scott Eric. And was like, what are they with this Glatfelter family where they seem to, just because my full name is on Facebook doesn't mean you call me but with my middle name. Because nobody, literally nobody else does that. No one else does. I don't know where they think that. It's just a weird thing. It's like, wait, am I the only person, you know, on Facebook who uses his middle name as well? It's like, no, I just, my name has more of a nicer rhythm to it with the middle name. Just, God damn it. Anyway, so back to the show. They're not going to listen. Who cares? So we get that little memory between Wanda and Vision. I guess that was supposed to be shortly after the Age of Ultron. So,
yeah,
because she's still dealing with the death of her brother. But, and I guess that the memory is more tied to the fact this is kind of the beginning of her, the real beginning of her relationship with Vision, I guess. Because it was a very sweet scene. You know, it's kind of like,
yeah,
out of her grief, she finds, you know, this beginning of her love with Vision and such. I liked it. You know, again, I really am enjoying the job that Paul Bettany and actually, and Olsen as well. They're both really, when you talked earlier about how this is one of the, if not the best Marvel thing that they've done, you know, outside of some of their films, I'm guessing. I think a lot of it is based around the unexpected strength of the performances here. Even though with Paul Bettany, I shouldn't have been surprised because I think I always liked him as an actor. Olsen is kind of the revelation in this series for me because I never, even though I know she had done a few things, those are films I actually hadn't seen. So I didn't know she was, I didn't know she was really all that good an actress until seeing her, what she's been doing here. The other, another interesting reveal, and I'll give him credit again. Oh, got another little reveal. That whole scene of her going, the scene of her going to S.W.O.R.D. headquarters, because, now we find out she never actually stole the body, Vision's body. That was an interesting revelation. Part of me thinks I should have seen that coming because everyone's been saying, you know, Hayward's just really a really bad guy. And I'm like, well, he's a douche. He's a jerk. I don't know if he's like evil or anything.
Yeah. But oh yeah, when she leaves the body there, it's just like, oh, yep, here we go.
Yeah. So that means they doctored up a video of her taking the body and then doing all that. So, and then of course, then we get that final, what do you call it? The mid-credit scene. With him and that reveal of, you know, the white Vision. And there's so many white supremacist jokes I want to make at this point, you know, and I know a joke you wanted to make and I'm not going to, I hope you don't go there. Cause he is one of our listeners, but white Vision, you mean God's wet dream? No, I'm just, we're kidding. Anyway,
I was gonna say that God grew up liking the X-Men, but for some reason, then he grew up even more and like the Sentinels for some reason because he's totally into that shit.
I thought it was, he liked the X-Men until he started realizing it meant that they were former men, and then he didn't like it anymore. Because anyway, where am I going with that? So I know exactly where I just went with it. I'm sorry, David. Anyway, so my question here. Is he, if he's doing what he's doing here, and they've actually repurposed, Vision's parts into this, whatever this white Vision actually is, and we have to see just how sentient a being he is, whether he's capable of thinking on his own, or if he's just, does he have less of a mind or less of a personality, because he doesn't have a soul, whatever. Is he kind of just going off track here? He's not, this is beyond S.W.O.R.D. at this point. I mean, cause he's kind of breaking some serious rules that have been in place.
I still think that he's like a bad guy and it's not really like, you know, he's not really part of S.W.O.R.D. or whatever, but we'll see what they do.
I'm kind of thinking you're right because this just implies it's a corruption, you know, this is like Hydra taking over S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of a deal to me. Because it's like, wait, you're not supposed to do these things. And all these decisions you've been making all seem kind of wonky. But the fact that you actually doctored up a video to do a cover-up that you're showing to, among other people, like someone else who works for a different federal agency, whatever. Yeah. you're not just an asshole. You're a legitimate bad guy right now. And I'm curious if there's going to be something more behind that. I've been so focused on, at least I've been somewhere focused on what's been going on inside the Hex and Agatha, or Agnes, now Agatha, and there being someone else there. I'm wondering if there's someone else on the outside, because you're not going to tell me he's the one in charge of all this unless he, you know, he's got to be working on someone else's orders, you know?
Yeah, I still think Zemo could be part of it, maybe, just, but we'll see how it goes.
I think that makes a lot of sense, especially if that very next series is going to have Baron Zemo in it. So it kind of, it almost makes sense that there would be a nice little connecting piece. Because, you know, the mystical, cosmical, whatever stuff can be what leads to the movies, but the more earthbound stuff, you know, and the corruption and what's going on with S.W.O.R.D. seems to naturally lead to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. By the way, it's funny how I've made the mistake, and I've referred to it as the Falcon and the Snowman a million times, and which I realize it's not only a natural thing to say if you've got a few years on you and you remember that movie, but by the way, it's a very good movie, I would say. Underrated movie. And great soundtrack too. But it didn't occur, but again, how stupid am I? It never occurred to me until when it came up in conversation, and me and the person I was talking to, both of us kept saying Falcon and the Snowman, and like, I mean Winter Soldier, whatever. And it's like, hey, you know, the whole series title has been a play on that from the get-go. I mean, Snowman and Winter Soldier. A Winter Soldier is a snowman, or vice versa, to a certain extent. And so I was like, wow, that was a lot wittier a name for the series than I realized. Kind of the way I didn't realize how funny or a title WandaVision was until I thought about it some more. So give Marvel credit for something else. God damn it. Anyway. So I think that pretty much covers the episode. Obviously you had the ending where she's holding the kids, you know, prisoner or whatever. And there's that part of me that doesn't know how seriously I want to take this, because at least in the confines of the show, these kids are constructs that they shouldn't really even exist. But as you told me and told us, the comic books, that's sort of how they came into being in the first place. And they went on and lived on as characters. So, which is fine. I mean, we've seen that happen on other shows. There's a show that I'm in the middle of, an old show I'm in the middle of binging that has a character like that, a character I hate, but started out as just, you know, just this little thought of energy, and now became like a character, and I hate that character. So we're going into one, we got one episode to go. At this point, should we be tossing out all the theories that we had about it being, you know, the big bad being this or this, and just say it is just freaking Agatha at this point? And maybe or is it like what you were saying with the Thanos concept, where we'll then get the little hint like, oh no, it was someone bigger, but we're going to be seeing that person in the Doctor Strange movie? Because I feel like that's the more likely thing at this point. Is that where you think they're going?
I just kind of think that, like, you know, like, it does seem like Mephisto maybe is the one that powered her up, like, in this way, because it does kind of look like you're seeing him at some point during the episode. So I think maybe they're going to do something like that. That's why she's like,
Which point was it that you thought you saw him? Just so I can refresh my memory, because I watched it in
like,
the hours.
When she's looking at the soul gem, and like, or the mind gem, I mean, when she's like looking at that, and then you see like a figure, and the figure like definitely has horns. Even though it kind of looked...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about. Oh, I might have to go watch. Am I going to have to rewatch that episode after the podcast? That makes no sense. I should have watched that again. Okay. I would love it for it to end up being Mephisto after all, because that was the one we probably spent the most time talking about in the first podcast. So I'd love it to all come back to that. Speaking of the final episode and whatever, your opinion here. Maybe the majority of people watching are thinking or feeling that the Doctor Strange character is going to appear, even if it's just briefly, in the final episode. Do you think that's where they're going or not?
I think so. I mean, they have to do something to, like, resolve this, like, situation. I mean, like, you know, there's this, like, big, like, you know, weird bubble that's going on that has to be, like, you know, addressed. And you've got two visions that I suppose are going to end up, maybe they'll fight each other, which would be cool. I don't know. But it seems like there's a lot of stuff that they have to do for only one episode left, because you still have, like, you know, a vision that's been brought back from the dead, and, like, you know, like a more robotic, soulless vision, which is, you know, which they did in the comics, too, at some point. So I don't know. It just seems like they have a lot to do. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to clean it all up. You know, if you've got Hayward as a bad guy doing stuff, and you've got, you know, Monica Rambeau doing stuff, and random Thor character being less annoying than in the Thor movies hanging out. I mean, there's a lot of pieces that, you know, that they have to tie together here.
Right, so, and I think that's what probably lends any credence to it being a much, much, much longer episode than we've gotten at any point in the series, because it almost feels like you need, if not a completely feature-length story, more than just your average half-hour, 40-odd minutes to cover all the ground you're talking about and do it in any remotely satisfying way. But, I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think he will appear. But
yeah, it's not like Wong can, like, show up and make the situation go away. You know, sorry, Wong.
Nah, I don't think. I think Wong would be kind of a bit of a cop out at this point. Although I love that character and that actor, but I don't think that's where they're going to go. Now, I did see an interview with Bettany where he was talking about someone appearing and referring to the final episode. And he was kind of going on about it because of being an actor that he's always wanted to work with and he's been a big fan of and blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't remember if Cumberbatch and Vision interacted. I don't think they did in either of the Infinity War, Endgame, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they ever interacted.
Nope.
So
because Doctor Strange went to space before, like, they decided to, like, you know, to try to, like, destroy the mind gem or whatever. So right. He wouldn't. Yeah. Doctor Strange wouldn't. Yes.
So,
and then when he came back from the dead, Vision was already dead.
And I've not IMDb'd to see to verify if they've never been in any TV or movie together ever before. So he could very well be referring to Cumberbatch. That would make a lot of sense. If in fact that's correct, I probably should have checked that before we recorded, but whatever. Because if he's not referring to him, then I don't know. It's funny because I think there's some sentiment out there that, you know, the big whatever is not going to be Doctor Strange only because we're all saying it and it seems kind of obvious. So it's got to be something else. But that kind of reminds me of what's happened. I began the podcast with a reference to Justice League and now I'm going to end it with a reference to Justice League or come near the ending. Something had come out. Like a couple weeks ago where there was going to be, I think it was a quote from like Zack Snyder or something. There was going to be this big head blowing, you know, person showing up at the end of, the new version of Justice League that, you know, hardcore fans are going to lose their minds, whatever. And of course, everyone was going crazy because they were going, oh, it's got to be Green Lantern and whatever. Even led Ryan Reynolds himself to tweet like, no, I'm not showing up. I'm not downloading that costume again or whatever it was he said. And then it turns out now we're like 99% sure they're just referring to the fact that it's most likely Martian Manhunter, who had already been talked about showing up in the movie at some point where someone saw a still. There was some comic book art about relating to the movie that came out that featured that character. And even the actor who's going to play him, who, by the way, it is the right actor in that DCEU that makes perfect sense to be the human version of Martian Manhunter, the actor Harry Lennox. Very good actor. People probably know him from The Blacklist. I think he's on The Blacklist. But everyone kind of got disappointed, like, oh, we already knew that. It's like, well, that's because you guys all spoiled yourselves, so tough shit. You know? So that's the kind of way that Doctor Strange, like, oh, yay, it's Doctor Strange, but we all kind of thought that was going to happen anyway, so... You know, God forbid we got Reed Richards. No, no, no. Bullshit artists. Huh. This whole episode, we also, you mentioned Monica. We got that at the end of the previous episode, that little mid-credit scene with Monica and Pietro, and then we don't see anything about them in this entire episode.
Nope.
So I'm guessing, obviously, it goes without saying we're going to see them in the next episode. I'm going to go on not much of a limb. It's going to be the duh, no, really moment for me here. I'm guessing the stuff with I'm going to keep calling him this, Pietro, that should be our key to finding out for sure, for, you know, guaranteeing that there's more than just Agatha involved and all this. Obviously, you spotted the apparitional figure of Mephisto, so that kind of already told people, but I missed it because I watched it at like 3:30 in the morning. But I feel that's going to be a bigger thing. I still do not buy him just simply being this, you know, something that she just created or, and they never really explained how she ended up picking. She says something in the episode about how she couldn't use the body that would have been all shot up in Sokovia. But there's no explanation whatsoever of how she ended up just happening to pick the guy who is Quicksilver in another universe. There is no explanation whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we get that final episode and that is not addressed, that to me is bullshit. That will actually piss me off. You better either A, explain it, or B, you better imply that we're going to get the explanation in that movie. Because you can't do that and then like, oh, then we're not going to explain this for another couple of years. Fuck you. Just saying. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not sure if they'll explain it or not, or if they'll just do something like, you know, like send him somewhere and like have him be like somewhere where there's like a character from another X-Men movie in it, you know, like I'm not sure who they would use, but, you know, I don't know what they'll do.
It'll be, what's that actor's name?
Fassbender.
Who?
Fassbender, because Magneto's their father.
So. Ooh, better choice than the guy whose name, McAvoy was where I was going, but yeah. Fassbender would actually make more sense. Trying to think of anything else. At this point, I'm thinking we got the idiots among us. We got to give up the ghost that maybe we're not going to get any real deal Fantastic Four stuff here, other than their little cute little red herring hints that they were throwing at us. I mean, I'll say I agree with all you people who think it's ridiculous that the aerospace engineer they refer to might just have been that military chick that Monica meets up with when she gets that stupid, you know, moon rover like machine, whatever the heck it was. I was like, yeah. Really? Because I thought that got debunked that, no, that's not who she's referring to. But at this point, again, with one episode to go, how many things can you put in there? You know, I'm thinking, yeah, we got our hopes up for nothing. But, you know, maybe that was too big a thing to be revealing on a TV show. Other than, you know, they got the big Quicksilver thing. Maybe they can't do that as well.
Yeah, I never thought it would have made any sense to introduce a Fantastic Four here. But so I never got my hopes up.
Nope, I agree. I just felt that it's
no connection.
I guess what I'm hoping for the final episode, just moving away from any specific, you know, storylines being tied up here, I do like the idea that it will be, or I'm hoping it'll be kind of a pathway to much bigger deals. And even if those bigger deals aren't really going to get, they're not going to get into them until you get into, you know, the big screen movies, you know, like whether it be major villains in the upcoming Strange movie, or any, maybe even a connection to the Spider-Man movie, which is very possible because that's actually the next big screen thing that's going to happen, which is supposedly going to get into the multiverse. It seems like, and I believe Doctor Strange is going to appear in that movie. So you kind of think who knows? Maybe out of nowhere, you know, hey, look, it's Tom Holland. You know, no, I don't know if Paul Bettany would be talking about wanting to work with him his whole life. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, it could be something as wacky as that. I hope for me personally that they do a nice job at the final episode. And I'm hoping that even if they end up not doing any major heart-stopping reveals or signposts to major things in the MCU, that I can be, you know, a better person like you and still just really enjoy it for what it is and not feel that little twinge of disappointment that, you know, you gave me some, but I wanted more kind of a feeling, you know?
Yeah. Well, I went into this series with no expectations really at all, so I think they've done more than I would have expected if I had expectations, I guess.
I think for me, I'm partially there with you. I'm even mostly there with you. If I'm just judging this the way I tend to judge things, as far as just the quality of the overall series and everything, writing, acting, blah, 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 all the way down the line, I am very impressed with what they've done so far. I think for the most part, it's been at a very high level or a very good level of quality, whatever. It's only when I let the little geeky side of me in because the geeks always want more, you know, because that's what incels want. No, anyway. just for Axel. Alrighty then. Okay. So I guess we can wrap this up then. Cool.
Yep.
So if you enjoyed this podcast, guess what? You'll enjoy hanging out on our Facebook page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast page. Like the page and join the conversation about shows like WandaVision and pretty much anything else that's TV related or not. You know, movies. We'll talk movies there too if you want. You can find us on Apple Podcasts where you can subscribe to our feed as well as rate and review us. I haven't looked in a million years, but I doubt we've gotten anything new there. But you can find our entire archive of this is now episode 303, Lord. All 303 of our podcasts can be found at stbdpodcast.podbean.com. And yeah, and basically, what was it Colleen said? That was really cool. Basically, you can pretty much find our podcast wherever you find she didn't say it like that. I can't remember how she phrased it. You can find us everywhere. Someone told me they actually wanted to look, found us on Stitcher. And I'm like, wait, someone's actually downloaded us there? It really sucks that I lost the password and they won't give me a new password every time I try to reset it. So I can't go in and check any numbers on Stitcher. So I don't know if we've gotten one download or 10 or 12. I don't know. I don't care. It's just, but it's a little annoying. It's like that Instagram account that I can no longer access and all my good pictures are there. It just pisses me off. Where was I? Finally, you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at STBD Podcast. That's STBD as in Serious TV Drama. Dan and I will be back, I guess, in a week's time or so to bring you our observations, our thoughts on what will be the final episode of WandaVision. Dan, do we think you're gonna end up having to record that while you're literally on the road?
I do not know yet, but we will see. So hopefully not, but you never know.
That will be fun, and if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this. I do not feel that's unprecedented on this podcast. I think on more than one occasion, both you and I think Brian once actually.
Yeah,
we're recording while on the and when I say on the road, I don't mean they're just recording in there in a different location. No, they're recording in the car while they're driving down the road at night. So there's that evil part of me is like, you know, if they had an accent, that would sound amazing on the podcast. That'd be podcast gold. Anyway, not that I want you guys to have an accent. You know, that would be horrible. What kind of person would I be? And it's funny. Because of the timing of WandaVision and trying to get these recorded the same day, as well as other factors, some of which I talked about at the end of podcast number 300, it feels like I keep mentioning what the next episode of the greatest TV drama episodes of all time countdown is going to be, and we haven't gotten to it yet. It is coming. We are, unless someone backs out, we are slated to record on Monday. And maybe keeping people waiting, people who are going to listen to that one, you know, which would be people who are actually familiar with the show that we're focusing on. It's going to be worth the wait because as you know, and partially you don't know, it's probably going to be the most controversial episode of the entire countdown. So it's something to look forward to. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm foreseeing some disagreements between myself and my co-host on that one, which will make for either podcast gold or awkward, whatever. We'll see. So that will be coming next week. I will try to get it released on Tuesday, Wednesday, the latest. It depends. I got a doctor's appointment on Tuesday, but it will be number 7 on that list, which again is an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The episode is Hush from season 4. I think it was the 10th episode of that season. And once we get that one in the can, then the countdown will really start steamrolling for the final six, which are all, you know, even Brian would say they're top tier shows. I'm giving him those shots too. No, I'm too much. You're rubbing.
That's high praise. He doesn't just dole out the praise willy nilly.
I'm pretty sure. Even though personally myself, one of them, no, I'm just kidding though. I think all six are. I just don't like the first season of one of them, but you know, hints which one of them is going to be. All right. So Dan, thank you so much for, being able to podcast tonight after a very long day of work. I appreciate your, getting your energy up to be able to do this tonight.
Yes. Do you think you're going to want to try to podcast the Falcon and Winter Soldier show, or do you think that it's just like, you know, why bother? Because that starts in 3 weeks.
It starts
3 weeks.
Three weeks
from tonight.
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's actually coming out the day after the Zack Snyder cut is released on HBO Max, which I thought was kind of funny. It's like, oh, look at that. I don't know. We'll talk about it between now and then. I do have a legitimate podcast related reason why I might say no to that, but not necessarily. Let's wait and see. Ooh, it's gonna be right on my birthday too. Jeez, let's wait and see, because I'm again maybe like WandaVision. I have low to no expectations for that series as well, especially when you're featuring it's focusing on two characters. I was like, about in the MCU, but. They did such a great job with WandaVision. Maybe they might do a great job with that show as well. I got to see, because then there's also a major idea I have that I don't want to reveal till the end of the countdown. As far as an ongoing podcast that I think I want us to try to take a swing at for the rest of the year. So I gotta. It's all about how much time we have, and I don't want to start imposing too much on our plates. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Plus, to be honest, I probably really want to do the Loki series, which is going to come out in May. Because yeah. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's the one I'm actually more excited about. But I think most people feel that way. So anyway, so again, thank you so much for joining me this evening. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And Dan, you want to say goodnight before I shut it down?
No, I'm not interested in doing that. Just shut it down.
All right, shut it down, I will.